Welcome to episode 114 of The Lab. I'm your host, Brad Barton. Do you remember Pong? I remember Pong. It was a long sort of console-like unit that weighed about 50 pounds. My dad didn't want to buy one. He borrowed one from a friend. And it took at least a half hour to finish figuring out how to make the cables go into the TV. This was before cable television made it to our house, and before you could do things like hook up a VCR. Pong was put out by Atari, and it was one of the first arcade games. The unit that you could play at home came out later. To say video games have come a long way since then is a bit of an understatement. But it was a combination of video games and movie production that pushed the technology of computer graphics forward. As computer-generated imagery got more sophisticated, they started to develop specific tools for creating graphics. This included things like shading and 3D rendering. While your computer and its central processing unit, CPU, are good at doing any numerical task, it's not necessarily the best at any particular numerical task. It was the processing of graphics that demanded a different architecture. Eventually, this led to the GPU, or graphics processing unit. A GPU works on a matrix of numbers. It's easy to picture what a two-dimensional matrix is. It's just a grid with numbers filled in the grid squares. When you're performing matrix operations, you look at a column or a row or the diagonal, or perhaps little groups of four or nine squares. To figure out how an image should appear, generated from some model, you need to be able to do a large number of fairly simple operations on a matrix of numbers. This matrix of numbers, the grid squares, map to the pixels on your screen that actually form the image. In about 2001, some researchers discovered that you could use these GPU chips to perform scientific calculations, matrix operations. It was at first rather clunky. You had to turn your problem into an image, then perform the calculations, then turn it back into some form that made sense to you so you could look at the results. CPUs, on the other hand, tend to stick to doing one calculation at a time. They do them very fast, but when you have a large matrix of numbers to deal with, the parallel processing approach of a GPU can get the job done much faster. Now, neural network design. The thing to remember when you're designing your artificial neural network and figuring out what kind of neurons you want to use is that there are no actual neurons. They're a software abstraction. They're bits of electrical energy wibbling back and forth. Instead of actual synapses, you have a weight matrix. 2, 3, or 4 dimensions of squares filled with numbers. To perform a neural network calculation, relatively simple mathematical operations have to be done on a large number of numbers. That's what I said. On a large number of numbers at once. One of Geoffrey Hinton's students, George Dahl, figured out how to run neural networks on a graphics processor. It's been estimated that using a graphics processor instead of a central processor sped up the neural network by as much as 70 times. That means training that used to take 70 weeks could now be done in 7 days. This approach has made it possible for even a laptop to be able to run a fairly sophisticated artificial neural network. Instead of trying to use its central processor, you use its graphics card. Instead of doing millions of simple operations one at a time, no matter how fast, you do millions of calculations at once. Thankfully, for home hobbyists and researchers in general, it's no longer necessary to turn your numbers into a picture before you perform calculations on them on a GPU. Several companies, including AMD and Microsoft and NVIDIA, have produced systems that allow you to program in a more traditional way. Many of the tools that implement the techniques of deep learning and run things on graphics cards are open source and freely available. Even devices like phones and tablets that do have their own graphics processors can implement simple neural networks. On the show page, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com, I have a link to a short video that demonstrates the difference between the CPU approach and the GPU approach. It's fairly short, and it's actually just a bit of silliness, but worth watching for the chuckle. Artificial intelligence research has traditionally been rather expensive. Now, anyone can do it. What will happen? The Lab podcast will be shut down for the first week of January, so I'll see you again on the 9th of January, 2018. Until then, I hope you have happy holidays and a fantastic new year.